Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. And of course, we're still in our COVID-19 mode. And I hope everyone is safe and sound, following all the best advice, and caring about the rest of the world, and helping to share. Today, I think I want to make sure we talk about a danger that is developing, coming from Washington, nobody's surprised, and it has to do with what kind of world we're going to live in after, and what kind of world we're living in now, of course, but when this matter of the COVID-19 broke out, we were already in a rather difficult situation in that the Donald Trump, President of the United States, had begun to set a path of confrontation and approach to the world which was adversarial, dividing the world into enemies, friends, and practicing brutal sanctions on countries that he didn't like. And this is of interest to Canadians because Canada followed suit. Canada is always in that curious situation, thought of by many as kind of the nice imperialist, or the one who doesn't bite as often. But if we're going to assume responsibilities for policy, you can't pass on to Trump or say it's him. Canada has to make up its mind as a state whether it's going to follow like a loyal dog what the United States does or take a different path. The path Canada has been taking leading into this COVID-19 crisis has been to be the associate of the U.S. And we cannot put this on Trump. This is a Canadian history, particularly post-World War II. There was Diefenbaker, and he was different. John Kennedy hated Diefenbaker because Diefenbaker actually thought he could ask questions and then occasionally say to Kennedy that he'd think it over and maybe he'd do something. And of course, we had that famous instance where Prime Minister Pearson actually told Lyndon Johnson he didn't agree with his policy in Vietnam, and famously Lyndon Johnson picked him up by his lapels and shouted in his face. But that was at least a Canadian saying he didn't go along. Harper not only went along, he was running along barking when he wasn't even asked to. But Harperism is very much present in the present circumstances, in my opinion. By the way, this is the Taylor Report. Ordinarily, we, of course, begin with interviews. I apologize that we are we're in our home delivery mode. And so basically, I'm using the time to report on things and pick out the stories that seem to matter the most. And I do believe this story is what matters the most. There is an overused cliche about we're coming to crossroads. I think this is a fork in the road. We're coming to a fork in the road where now with the coronavirus, there's a policy, a plan to cooperate, to go to the United Nations, to act like a member of the world community, to turn this issue of fighting a virus, deadly virus, through uniting medical professionals and attending bodies such as World Health Organization and coordinating with World Health Organization. And while the task at hand is ugly and frightening, it does at least make us all understand our common humanity and the need to put aside war and put aside ideological difference and unite as common humanity in our common humanity to bring about a successful war with a virus which can do every one of us great harm to our communities and our economies and everything else. So this is a new mode, and in this period, of course, since it is a common struggle, it is noted that countries that we didn't often think about, that they don't get the headlines every day, began to play roles as they properly should and should be always appreciated, that one hadn't thought about. But because the virus is a common threat, we hear about struggles against the virus in places such as Iran, Vietnam, Haiti, Korea, Algeria. And we have, that's, see, because these are all war fronts in a sense. You have to hear how's the war going. And then we also hear about positive efforts and successful efforts made by various people and countries and organizations. And names such as Cuba come to the front, and everybody says, oh yes, Cuba, my goodness, they're sending doctors to various places, Italy, Serbia, China, Iran, to Brazil. By the way, Brazil had told them to go away, and then they said, please come back. So, and nobody wants to start an ideological war here, but you have to say, you see, we can all get along. There are things we should be doing together, but Cuba is under a sanction going back to 1960 by the United States. And that sanction has to be noted and avoided by other countries who don't want trouble with the U.S. and don't want to end up in financial harm done to them. And so we notice in this common battle that there are countries under these sanctions who are doing quite well, by the way, in fighting for themselves. The Islamic Republic of Iran has done a better job of fighting the virus that threatens its population than has, frankly, the United Kingdom and, of course, the ununited states. Donald Trump's gang, they haven't done as well, but they keep their sanctions on Iran and on Cuba, and then moving on, Venezuela. Venezuela's done an excellent job. And incidentally, we're going to keep coming back to the subject of World Health Organization, because that's the big point my talk about all this. The World Health Organization noted that Venezuela has followed the guidelines and has been successful in waging a successful struggle. No battle is over. The struggle is not ended anywhere, for sure. But progress has been made because the medicines and medical care is being delivered to these populations. And we should note that, because Venezuela, of course, is under sanctions. In the midst of this, the United States has increased its sanctions on Venezuela. Increased its sanctions on Iran. Yet those societies have fought to deliver medicine, medical care, and cooperated with other countries. And other countries have cooperated with them so that they are able to contain the coronavirus. Venezuela, as a matter of fact, has given aid to Antigua Barbuda. Antigua Barbuda said they had bought ventilators and other equipment from a company in the United States, but it was never delivered because it was taken from Venezuela. Learned of this in Venezuela, though it is itself poor and struggling, gave them assistance, gave them what they could. Same with Grenada. Prime Minister Grenada said, thank you, China. Thank you, Cuba. Thank you, Venezuela. These are the voices from the world, the actual world. There's a term used here called international community. You'll find it in editorials written by the New York Times, Washington Post, Globe and Mail, Toronto Star, the international community. And when they use the term, they only mean Washington, London, Ottawa. That's the world community. Maybe Australia. They don't mean Venezuela. They don't mean Cuba. They don't mean Iran. They don't mean Nigeria. They don't mean Kenya. They don't mean South Africa. You know, Nelson Mandela's South Africa. They like to have put a picture of themselves shaking hands with Mandela or attending his funeral. They probably enjoyed that more. But they never listen or repeat what they say. They refer to themselves as the international community. But the actual living international community is now there for all of us to see in this struggle against COVID-19, which is a very opportunistic and aggressive virus, for which there is no vaccine. And you do have to have a common plan, and you need mutual consultation. You need sharing of doctors and their expertise. And so that's the world we're now finding ourselves in. And it has an international body. It took a while to pull it together, but it's important. And it's called the World Health Organization. And I was listening to a talk by Dr. Richard Horton. He is the editor of The Lancet. The Lancet is one of the most respected medical journals, if not the most respected in the world. He had something rather shocking to say. One, he said, the World Health Organization is vital to those parts of the world that are impoverished, trying to develop or live hand to mouth. The World Health Organization is one, if they're a state, they're a member, they go there, the World Health Organization shares with them all the available medical information on the kinds of things that might be a threat to their populations, helps them acquire medicine and expertise. He says this is a vital, vital organization. And he says, now with that, the United States and Donald Trump's administration has said they're going to pull money out of it, or, you know, deny it money, because, as you know, money's more important than people. The poor countries just don't put as much money. What money do they have? They don't put that much in. So Mr. Big Spender says, well, I'm going to keep my money. I don't like something about the WHO. Dr. Richard Horton says that is a crime. I hope you're listening. A crime against humanity. He said, I have to use that language. The World Health Organization provides really vital and essential expertise, medical aid, all these things to countries that could not otherwise access these things. So when you harm them and you reduce the budget, you're actually striking at those nations that are struggling to survive. The World Health Organization is created by a common humanity grows out of the United Nations. It is a, you know, I guess you'd call a stepson or attachee or relative directly to the United Nations. So this is the reason this is coming up and why we're talking about a fork in the road. We're all members of the World Health Organization. Canada's a member. Canada has doctors in the World Health Organization. Incidentally, the United States has members, doctors, who are functionaries. My guess is they're disproportionately present, but that's just a guess, in the World Health Organization. But because a country in who is also a member of the World Health Organization and was the first victim of the outbreak of this coronavirus, which leaped onto their chest and tried to kill them, was China. And the outbreak took place in Wuhan, city of 11 million, and they notified World Health Organization, they notified the United States through the Centers for Disease Control. Both countries have them, and they, by the way, despite all the noise and jumping up and down in the Washington press and the whomever else, British press, whoever is shooting their mouths off about this. In fact, these Centers for Disease Control talk to each other in a friendly way, in a common, because they share common problems, and they work on those problems together. It's kind of like, I guess, being in outer space, and you're in, you have to work, and you want to come back, so you have to cooperate. So they do. The Center for Disease Control of China notified the Center for Disease Control of the United States early January, January 3, that they had a problem with the corona thing. They had not determined exactly what it was, but they said there is definitely, we have got something on our hands here that's dangerous. So they notified, and of course they notified the World Health Organization. Well, the World Health Organization shared what they were hearing as they heard it. And anyone watching, and a lot of, as soon as we heard, I'm a pedestrian, I'm minding my own business, but I could see something rather important was happening in Wuhan, and that there was great concern and anxiety that, well, what is China going to do? And they said, well, you know, Chinese New Year's is coming. You can't just shut down Chinese New Year's, can you? I mean, that's big. You can't shut down the economy, can you? I mean, that's a big economy. Yeah, you put it in neutral? Well, they did. They did it with the city of Wuhan. They and then what they did is they brought in 40,000 outside medical personnel, doctors, nurses, all the nests and paraphernalia, all 40,000 came to help Wuhan. So don't worry, I haven't forgotten about why we're talking about this. It's going to come to Canada and our parliament, so-called national leaders. Anyhow, yes, so China did that, notified the world, tackled the virus. In the month of January, they did determine, yes, this thing travels human to human, and we don't have a vaccine, and we're going to do what you have to do in such situations, which is to have a lockdown of Wuhan, and they did lock it down. They built two hospitals only for COVID-19 people, and they did it in a matter of days, and 75 days went by, 75, Wuhan had eliminated coronavirus and reported no more cases. Now, cases were coming in from externally by that time, from outside, and had other kinds of problems. And they certainly are keeping an eye on Wuhan. 75 days later, Wuhan went back to work. So that's pretty good. And now all of China is returning to work. They do not have COVID-19 in any significant number. They number their COVID cases in China in the hundreds. And how did they do that? They did it by, of course, quarantine, which everybody here said, well, we wouldn't be able to do that because we're a free society. And we're finding out about a free society, so-called. By that, they mean a capitalist society that doesn't care about workers. Capitalist society that doesn't care about workers. That's what they are. They call themselves free. You have to explain that to Black Americans, Asian Americans, Mexican Americans, all of whom are Japanese Americans, tell you all about it. But anyway, people like Chrystia Freeland like to run their mouths about freedom. At any rate, China cares about its people, so they conquered it, and they did it with those means. And they invited the World Health Organization to come there. The United States, to my knowledge, has never invited World Health Organization. I mean, are you kidding? Big tough guy like that, he doesn't ask, take any advice from anybody, right? That's where we are. That's considered thinking in some places. So we have this problem, in my opinion, of having to confront our demons here through the struggle in which the World Health Organization, cooperating with, not just, they're making the story that always China and World Health Organization, no, everybody, all countries benefit. And around the world, there's been a mutual congratulations and mutual thanks on success. But Donald Trump is unhappy with this success. He wants to go on with his confrontation with China. He wants to divide the world. That's why I say there's a fork in the road. He wants to divide the world between people with his values. That would be Chrystia Freeland. And yes, Justin Trudeau. NATO. They consider themselves the world. Of course, the core of the group is the people called the Five Eyes. They call themselves the Five Eyes. This is Australia, New Zealand, Canada, UK, and US. And the boss is US. That's why Canada arrested the Chinese business executive, Wang Zhou, on behalf of the United States, though she had committed no offense in Canada, broken no laws, and her company functioned here, obeyed the law in Canada, added to the prosperity of the Canadian people, provided jobs and education and various other things. Well, we don't want that anymore because Donald Trump and the United States and Obama and Biden say that they want to make trouble. They want to see how much trouble can we make. This is their goal. So in the middle, we are still deeply involved in the pandemic. The United States has going on 70,000 dead Americans. They were notified in early January that there was a crisis. And they have 70,000 dead and climbing. China has 5,000 tops dead. They had around 100,000 cases, and that's being on the large, saying more than probably the case. And this don't look good on the charts for the U.S. Doesn't look good at all. So they've decided that the whole problem they have comes from the World Health Organization. And nothing could be more destructive at this moment than to start this stuff. And it's not going to just be, you know, something that is started and stopped. No, no, this is big time arrogance, big time bullying, and dangerous bullying. So you have to ask yourself, this is Taylor Report, so I'll ask you to ask yourself, why is Canada getting involved in this? And you might say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about a parliamentary committee, they call themselves the Health Committee, on a motion from Matt Genereux, the Conservative Party. You remember the Conservative Party. They have a candidate for their leadership who has used racial terminology, a suggestion that someone is a traitor because she's of Chinese descent. He says, what country does she serve? You know that party. So they want to convene the Parliamentary Health Committee, and they want to force a Canadian doctor, Dr. Aylward, to testify, and they're going to do it. The front page of the Globe and Mail says, MPs vote to summon WHO advisor to testify. Doctor ordered to go before committee to explain organization's relationship with China. This is crazy. This is outrageous. And it is divisive, and it is calculated to put us into the Cold War, the new Cold War. And like the old Cold War, these things can be dangerous, but it also flies. This is indicting and making trouble for the World Health Organization. And I quote again that Dr. Horton, Richard Horton, who says, he's the editor of Lancet. This body is extremely important to all of humanity. All of humanity benefits from this organization. Why? Well, because they're equals there. They send their representatives. They can ask their questions. They can ask for help, and they can get help, and they can get the best advice and professional guidance that can be provided within the world. I'm sure that there are parties that hold back, but the fact is that's one place where you can go. If you don't like the proceedings, you also have a voice and a vote. So this body wants to ask Dr. Aylward, summon, get a load of this, Globe and Mail's second page headline. Aylward won't be jailed if he refuses, former law clerk says. They put the name of a Canadian doctor who works for the World Health Organization, an organization lauded around the world, but not in Washington, therefore it's not lauded. Around the world, a valued international instrument, and this Canadian doctor, a virologist, who serves with distinction, in my opinion, who deserves a medal for courage at this point, he has to be summoned, they say. And if he doesn't answer the summons, they say they won't jail him, but the law clerk helped us out by saying that and Mr. Walsh, he's the law clerk, said Dr. Aylward is not at risk of being put in jail should he ignore the summons, but it would result in an embarrassing situation for himself and his organization. No, it won't. It put you, the Canadian Parliament's Health Committee, in an embarrassing situation. To believe that at this moment, in fighting a pandemic in which a Canadian doctor has a distinguished role, he should break off from what he's doing and come and give you a private audience so that you can beat him over the head, because the NATO gang led by Five Eyes, the Anglo community that shares intelligence. Five Eyes is a common intelligence body. The, as I already mentioned, US, UK, and the lesser kids, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, spy group. So they They're not happy. World Health, the world is not unhappy with the role of Dr. Aylward. I bet they love him because he told them things. I watched Dr. Aylward. He told them what I think the health committee ought to be talking about. He said, they asked him, what did you think of what you saw in Wuhan? He went to Wuhan. He said, they're doing the right thing. What he meant was, they've locked down the city. He said, they've applied a quarantine. They're tracing those who have identified as carrying COVID-19, and they've separated those people. And he said, they're avoiding a very dangerous thing. They're avoiding having clusters. That seemed very important. He was saying that in February. Clusters. You remember people dying here in Ontario, Quebec, and elsewhere? Clusters. He said back in February, when he had been to Wuhan, the Chinese are smart in that they know to take, if they go to a home and they find someone in that home who has COVID-19, they take them from the home, not take them from the family. They're making sure that they're protecting the family. They're also looking, they treat the person, and then they try to determine where she had been. And in that way, they're acting scientifically. Dr. Aylward was impressed. He said something that I knew was going to crucify him, that was going to lead to his crucifixion by the Canadian Parliament. The Health Committee is a part of the Parliament. He said, if I had COVID-19, I'd want to be treated in China. Well, that did it, because he crossed the racial and political barrier. He didn't even realize. He's a scientist, he's a doctor, he didn't understand. You're not supposed to say that, because he may as well have created thunder out of his mouth. And the Conservative Party gentleman, Mr. General, he wants to know why he said that. And the Globe wants to know. And the Globe says this, not just one article. You know they're writing propaganda and they always use the same word. They want to know, they say, why Dr. Aylward did not denounce the cover-up in Wuhan. Well, I would say they have a problem. They haven't shown there was a cover-up, and they don't seem to know. And this is amazing. Members of Parliament, they don't know. The World Health Organization doesn't deal in denouncing. Do they think Mr. Aylward was appointed by us to go and privately to just make opinions? So they are unhappy that he didn't. They want to know why he didn't denounce. And the Globe wants to know, why didn't he denounce? Well, that's because he's actually not a Globe reader. And he's not a hack, not a political hack, like those members of that committee. Guess what? That committee voted unanimously. Green, I guess. No, I'm going to leave the Greens out. I don't know that they're a member. The Bloc, the NDP, the Liberals, the Conservatives, unanimously to summon him. They don't even, we're embarrassing ourselves in front of the whole world. Now, of course, not really, because our world is Australia and Washington and the UK. So maybe they think the Canadians are doing a great job. Maybe that's what they believe. But in fact, this is an embarrassment. Simple reasons. Dr. Aylward, is not a politician. He is a virologist. And he's working, yes, in the World Health Organization. So if you think, you idiots, and Liberal NDP Bloc, if you think that he has that power, you don't understand the operation. If you don't like what they say, ask the World Health Organization. By the way, the World Health Organization did point out to them, if you have a question about their functioning, then do it. But you see, they can't allow parliamentarians around the world to summon their people, particularly in the middle of a pandemic. Otherwise, it can be tugged apart by every opportunist and demagogue or anybody who wants to make a name for himself. You can't do it that way. If you don't like the functioning of the World Health Organization, Canada, you're a member. So, okay, go and say you don't like something. Or you, as Canada, want to ask. But to say, oh, he's a Canadian, we're going to summon him and we're going to ask him things. Get a load of this. One of the things they want to ask him, according to Mr. General, he says, we want to know why it is that Taiwan has not been, is not a member of, not an observer at the World Health Organization. And they want Dr. Aylward to answer that. And then they say, they want to know why, when a Hong Kong journalist, I'd love to know who that is, sound like a sting to me. Look it up, sting. A Hong Kong journalist asked him about Taiwan, and he then ended the conversation. They want to know, they want to call him, to summon him, McCarthy style, and come here and answer that question. I can answer it for him, actually. Anybody could, so apparently they are total dunderheads, knotheads. Let me think of some more insult. That Taiwan is not a member of the World Health Organization. That's a known fact. Everybody knows it. So what do you want him to do? He's not a politician. If you want Taiwan to be a member, raise it in the Canadian Parliament. Go and make an issue if you want to do that. But it'd be the worst. It'd be a foolish thing for him to answer the question, because that isn't his purview. He's a virologist. He's interested in fighting the pandemic, get it? But this is what they want to do. And they were unanimous in that committee, which means to me that the Bloc and the Liberal Party and the Conservatives and, oh yeah, the NDP, there's a guy named Don Davies, he's one of them. Don Davies says, it only makes sense to ask him to come and explain that. No, it makes no sense at all, Don. It didn't make a bit of sense. None. And you're embarrassing us. Around the world, they all understand. You don't do it that way. If you want something from the World Health Organization, you have to ask them. They don't speak with 100 voices. That's why they have spokespersons. That's why they have a leader. Maybe you don't like the leader, so do something about that. That's your problem. But no, it doesn't make sense at all. And it only makes sense in one way. If all of them agree, despite their jabber-jabber, that they don't like Trump, it only makes sense because they're following Trump. They're following the U.S. The U.S. wants to divide us up. The U.S. wants to pick a fight with China. And when they want to pick up, they pick up the tail of the dragon. They find out that the dragon is the rest of the world. It isn't China. Nobody else in the world agrees with this. I mentioned South Africa. South Africa loves the world and supports the World Health Organization. I shouldn't use the word love. Supports the World Health Organization. They see it's valuable. It's valuable to them. Nigeria supports the World Health Organization. Algeria supports the World Health Organization. Pakistan, Greece, Italy. Italy really does appreciate the World Health Organization, appreciates China, appreciates Cuba. I know that gets on your nerves, Parliamentary Health Committee, because you're a pack of reactionaries who want to help Trump destroy people. You got to make up your mind. I said we're coming to a fork in the road here. Anybody with two eyes can see it. I know you have five, but people with two eyes can see what five eyes is up to. They want to create a political and economic havoc at a time when we are practicing universal cooperation. And they are very nervous about that. One of the main reasons they go after the World Health Organization is because the World Health Organization has control of a narrative that they want control of. And why would the United States and Boris Johnson, two big screw-ups, monumental screw-ups, with, in the case of Johnson, more than 20,000 dead, and he said, well, we're going to have to take it on the jaw, you know, it's kind of like a flu. He took it on the jaw, you know, he crawled around for a while before. He's not so smart now, but unfortunately, a bunch of people dead. In the United States, well, it is unspeakable. They don't have a medical system, and I call them the un-United States, because actually, part of the time he's Mussolini or he's Nero and he's the biggest, toughest guy, and then part of the time he says, I can't do anything, I'm going to leave it to the governors. He has 50 states. And then he said, and then one of the governors says, well, I'm going to turn this thing loose. And he says, oh, don't want you to do that. I mean, we're talking about a mental case, and it ain't just him, it's Biden. Get a load of the choices. You can have him or you can have Biden. Oh, lots of luck. But what they agree on, now that I've made fun of them, what they agree on is that there is to treat China, a member of the World Health Organization, as an adversary. That country has not agreed to be an adversary. All the rest of the world notices that. The U.S. calls it an adversary because the U.S. cannot compete. The U.S. is mainly bluff and big bank rolls in a country run by the 1% and very dysfunctional. Very dysfunctional. And it needs enemies. It thrives on them. So they've decided that and it was Obama created the term because he plays basketball. He said, we have to pivot towards China. He meant confront them. So this is a sorry situation, and Canadian Parliament is embarrassing itself. And we have a big job on our hands because they say we're coming to a fork in the road. We've been cooperating. We're with the World Health Organization. We have to be with international organizations. We have to end the sanctions on Venezuela, Zimbabwe, Iran, Syria. And we have to break with NATO, and we have to close one of the Five Eyes and get off the war wagon, which is being run by our great master, the U.S. And it is the great master. Why the devil? The NDP, Liberal, and Bloc want to call an outstanding Canadian doctor to come and crawl and be tugged at in order to attack the World Health Organization. That's what this is. Carrying the ball for the U.S., who's the master of this idea. Australia is very proud that it is baiting China now. It says, oh, we want an independent inquiry into where you... World Health Organization flubbed. Listen, the World Health Organization told you in January there was a deadly problem in Australia. South Korea got the message and got busy and protected themselves. Vietnam got busy and they protected themselves. They did an excellent job. Singapore did an excellent job because they were listening. And when they heard the word, hey, China says there's a problem. World Health Organization says, and by the way, Taiwan, the conservatives say, oh, you know, Taiwan should be a member because they did a good job. Well, they are Chinese, and they did hear in January, and then they went to work to protect themselves. The people who need to be investigated, if you want to do an independent investigation, but believe me, you ain't going to get the first base. Just mention the name U.S., Australia. You're one of the Five Eyes, Australia. Come on, pop off. Say something about you'd like to know why President Trump, a world leader, played down the threat. Maybe that cost a few lives, not just in the U.S., maybe in Canada, maybe elsewhere, by saying it's a flu, we think it's all going to be gone. He speaks for a country, you know, 350 million people. He says he's the most powerful country on earth. It's the richest country. So my guess is a few people listen to him. Australia, you got any guts? Raise it with him. Ask him how he lost 60,000. Pardon me, 70,000. Next week it'll be 80. Australia, what are you doing? You're just trying to be part. You want to show you're a good dog. Bark, bark. So the Canadian Parliament wants to show it's a good dog. Bark, bark. That's what it's doing. Playing the good dog. Let's go after the World Health Organization. Yeah, sure, in the middle of a pandemic. And drag a Canadian doctor in front of us. Let's do that. That's really smart. Wonderful. That's the caliber of political leaders we have. I hope that the Green Party will find it in its brain and in its heart to be a little different. We've talked to Dimitri Lascaris. Have a lot of respect for Dimitri. I'd say that this is a big, this was one for you, Dimitri. This is, we're teeing it up for you. This parliamentary body wants to call Dr. Aylward. Are you in favor of that? They want to attack the World Health Organization. Are you in favor of that? Because that is, as I said, the fork in the road. That one leads to a divided world, cutting off the WHO, saying we get to name its leader, all those kinds of games, and that's all coming. It's all coming for sure. And of course, you know, the wonderful sight of a Canadian doctor being crucified in order to get the WHO on behalf of Donald Trump. Like, that is just the prettiest thing I ever saw. And that doesn't tell you how bankrupt and ignorant our own leaders are. It's not just, Justin. I noticed that the Chinese have been polite to Justin. And that's because he hasn't himself spoken out. However, this is a parliamentary committee, and the Liberal Party is a member of the committee. They all voted. It was unanimous. And so that tells me that Jagmeet's bankrupt. The Liberal Party's bankrupt. The Bloc, unless it changes its mind, they're bankrupt. This is not a pretty situation to be in. They don't even understand parliamentary. When I say parliamentary, I mean international procedures, parliamentary, and by rule, that is, you don't summon an individual from an organization. You politely ask, as a member of the World Health Organization, we in Canada would like to have someone from the World Health Organization come to our parliament. If you would, that's up to them to answer. Because they would like to know, are you unsatisfied with our work? Because they notified the world. Did you get the word? They sent you the word. Look out. Here comes Corona 19. They sent you the word. Did you get the word? How well did you do? Because we'd like to know. We keep records. We'd like to help you out. So this is where we are with this. And it goes way back. I say the fork of the road. We're coming, we're united in fighting this pandemic, and we should stay united as one world. You might say this is Canada's chance to join the world, to get out of NATO. NATO doesn't have any reason to exist at all. It said it was there to confront the Soviet Union. Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. Even, they've all gone Christian with you. They've all gone, they've all said they've gone to private enterprise. So what's your problem? Got to have NATO. So, and maybe we could close one of the five eyes and get to know the rest of the world. Speaking of Taiwan, speaking of China, very important to underline, talk about the world. It was the rest of the world that wanted the People's Republic of China to be in the United Nations. It wasn't the Five Eye Gang. Australia was against. I don't know for sure New Zealand. But the U.S. was dead against. And they tried until 1971, they kept Chiang Kai-shek's government, that was Republic of Korea, Republic of China, pardon me. They kept them in the United Nations. When they voted, you should know, South Africa, that would be apartheid South Africa, voted to keep the People's Republic of China out of the United Nations. Now there's a new leadership in South Africa, not an apartheid regime. country is run by your best friend, the people of your best friend, Nelson Mandela. And they like China very much. And they share the world with China. And they like the idea that we should all work together. And they don't believe that there should be a unipolar world, one great power that dictates to everybody. They don't believe there's an exceptional country, the United States. They don't believe it's an indispensable country. They think it's a country like their own country. So Canada has a chance, see, to grow up. But in the Canadian Parliament, they voted unanimously to attack the WHO. They're not going to say that. Oh, no, they're going to say, oh, we want to invite this doctor. No. They want to see if they can create havoc. Havoc. And here they have a chance to join with the rest of the world, to get along, to be a neighbor, a friend of the rest of the world. So that's where we are. And everybody, and this is Taylor Report, I would urge everybody, write to your MPs, write to the Liberal Party, tell them they're working for Trump to divide the world if they try to confront the WHO disrupt it, destabilize it by calling Dr. Aylward, to try to get him to say something against somebody else in the WHO, say things different so that they can cause more trouble. And go back to Dr. Horton, editor of The Lancet, who says we need the WHO, and that when Trump materially attacks it by withdrawing money, that's a crime against humanity. So you have a chance coming to the fork in the road. Go with the world, the developing world primarily, who are the majority, have more votes than you do, Canada. You and the Five Eyes, they got a lot more votes. You've got a chance to stay with them, to fight the pandemic, and then go ahead to cooperate to build a better world where everybody gets medical care as a right, everybody gets education as a right, you get jobs as a right, you get treated equally as a right. That's the road you want to take. And it's not the road of the United States. I'll remind you, the Taylor Report. I have a little poem for you. Somebody asked Nathaniel West to give them a poem for a Mexican strike, Mexican-led strike in California. Nathaniel West was the author of Day of the Locusts. And he was a Hollywood guy, but he was really curious and great and radical man, very eccentric. He said, I don't know. And they said, well, we want you to come give a speech. He said, I can't give a speech. He said, I'll give you a poem. So the Workers' Committee came to his house the next day, and he gave them a poem. And they took it to the rally of the Mexican workers, ex-agricultural workers, around Los Angeles. And they read it, and the poem by Nathaniel West said, the hand is a five-pointed star, and the fist is a torch. Workers of the world, ignite. Not a bad poem. This is the Taylor Report. I think we're going to be able to play you a little music. Perhaps not. We'll see. I'm sorry that we're all in a COVID-19 situation. I hope that you are doing well, and I hope you're going to support the station. And I guess the only other thing I need to say is that I think the station has been doing a brilliant job, undermanned and with great pressure on it, and we're coming to a time when we have to support the station. We do it twice a year, so we're going to count on you to back us up and give us whatever you can, and more. But at CIT, as you can tell now, you really do, we do need these outlets where people can say something that the CBC won't say, and the Globe and Mail won't say, the Toronto Star won't say, because they're tied at the hip, locked at the hip, and ankle and eyebrow with United States leadership, which says it's leading the free world. And that's why they put brutal, dirty, stinking sanctions on people, so that they can see them be miserable, see if they can overthrow their governments like they're trying to do in Syria. I'm watching my little clock here, so we wrap up appropriately. I want to tell you one other item for sure. Read this, sfbayview.com, and there's a story by Ann Garrison about the Democratic Republic of Congo's Virunga Park guerrillas and rangers all under attack. And you can find that at sfbayview.com. And it is a really important story, which tells you again about a country that we follow, Rwanda, which was in, the government was installed there by Bill Clinton, maintained by Tony Blair and Bill Clinton and various Hollywood guys who come and go. Meanwhile, the people are oppressed. There are two women who tried to challenge publicly for the post of president, and they were both imprisoned for that. They're both now under house arrest, and of course various members of their parties go missing. But that delights Canada, which embraces them, because Bill Clinton embraced them. Kagame. This is part of our general ugly story. This also underlines again why you need to listen to CIUT. This is Phil Taylor for the Taylor Report, and we do appreciate your patience, and we do want you to fight back against the Canadian Parliament Health Committee and tell them to wind up affairs and not to play McCarthyite, not to fish for trouble. Quit trying to attack the Third World and one of its leaders, the People's Republic, China.